In a world filled with movie podcasts, there was one that, I don't know, was I guess really similar to the rest of them. And it's this one, featuring me and an unlikely group of co-hosts? I don't know. Let's talk movies, I guess. Welcome to Let's Talk Movies, I guess. I'm joined by John.
Hey there.
And Joel.
I'd like to be called JD now.
JD.
Yes, I think that's great.
That is cool.
Guys, I did it. I yes-handed.
That's awesome. You did. John's going
to
be working
like
on his improvisational. So John's going to be working on his improvisational skills during our episode today, which is going to be about the movie Roadhouse. A great movie. We've all seen it.
One of the improvisational greats.
Yeah, that whole movie was actually it's a Judd Apatow original.
There was no script. Fun fact:
they actually had four stick figure frames drawn on a piece of plywood.
Some people think there are continuity issues during different parts of the movies, like when he has his tire slashed, and then like in the next scene he's driving on four new fully inflated tires. But that's not a continuity issue. That's like improvisational. Behind the scenes. I don't know. So, but anyway, so the whole movie was done.
Doesn't he have extra tires in the trunk?
He went to the junkyard and filled up his trunk with tires.
Oh, so that's like a legitimate scene in the movie?
Yeah. He like, he buys extra tires and puts them in his trunk.
Yeah, I bought four of them, a whole set, because he knew they were going to get stabbed.
Because he knew they were going to slash his tires. Oh, man, I didn't even... I thought
too bad he didn't buy a windshield while he was at it.
I thought Squidbillies was like making fun of that movie when they were saying that that's literally a scene in the movie. That's great. I mean, that's actually pretty funny that you get to follow the character to a junkyard where you watch him load up tires.
I mean, it's like smash cut to a junkyard, 5 seconds of him loading up tires, and then off he goes to the double deuce.
But you could, I mean, that's still a waste of time when you could literally be like, hey, Kelly Ford or whatever your character's name is, or Kelly Lynch, be like, she could just literally be like, man, that was crazy that you got your tire slashed. Good thing the guy from that store came and put on new ones for you. And then Dalton would be like, yeah, that happened last night. And now I have new tires on my car. And then you're still done. So I don't know. I guess that took longer than 5 seconds.
But
well done, Roadhouse. I concede.
But the best part about that is we got to give Riff Trax a shout because they're awesome. But their riff on that
gateway drug.
Their riff on this is they say, "Oh, I sure am glad they have four of the exact right rim size and tire right here, setting for me, ready to put in my trunk."
You kind of spoiled it for me because I forgot to go back and watch this movie with Riff Trax on it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I've only watched it as the actual Roadhouse.
This
movie,
is one of the best Riff Trax I've seen, I think.
It's one of the best ones I've heard.
It's one of the best movies I've seen, so I don't know how they're going to riff on it, but I look forward to it. So a theory that I have about this movie, and you guys can shoot me down if you want, which would not really help John with his improvisation skills, but I think Patrick Swayze plays a gay character in this movie.
Wait, hold up. In this movie, you think he's gay?
Yes. Patrick Swayze.
Really?
Or James Dalton plays a gay character in this movie.
Okay.
Huh.
I mean,
I've never thought of that. That's a little out there, but I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, so I guess my evidence for this is, there's a few things. But
let's break it down. How many men has he slept with in the movie, and how many women has he slept with in the movie?
Okay, in the behind-the-scenes movie, or like the actual movie?
What you saw presented to you.
What I saw presented to me was confusing, because what I saw is, there was a scene wherein it was kind of like alluding to the fact he was about to have sex, and then there was a scene like smash cut right next to it of a woman lying naked in a bed and Patrick Swayze sitting on a back patio looking out into the distance like he'd just done something he regretted completely. Is that the scene you're referring to, John?
yeah, there was definitely the implication that sex had occurred between him and the woman.
But the subtext to me was definitely like, and then one of them couldn't sleep because they just did something they couldn't imagine.
What?
And then he threw the big giant strap on into the river.
Yeah, I mean, that happened before he sat down. So, again, that's happening in the scenes we're not seeing.
Okay, we're going to pretend like you're pausing the podcast right now while I give DVD commentary to you guys. Matthew earlier stepped away from the microphone while John and I were able to talk, and we decided we were going to troll Matthew and pretend like he was crazy for thinking Dalton's gay, when we clearly think that, too.
And it's kind of funny because even though you said that we're going to pause it and blah, 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 this is all going in the final product.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, guys, can I take my headphones, put my headphones back on now?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know where you're coming from, man. He's totally straight.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, but that there's
sounds like a little projection
that...
there.
All right, so, okay. Just kidding, obviously. We think that there are some homoerotic scenes, or, like, borderline in the movie.
And, like, they're not just between, like, what's his name, the old Asian cooler, oh, I can't think of his
he's
name.
He's not Asian. Sam Elliott.
He's not Asian.
Aging.
He's not Cajun.
Oh, I thought you said he was Asian. Wade Garrett.
Wade Garrett's getting older.
But he's still the best. He's the best. Yeah.
Okay, like, Wade Garrett and Dalton, clearly there's some man crush stuff going on there. Or,
I mean, he probably just wanted to grab him and stab him to the bar, didn't he?
Well, there's a scene, I think, in the first Predator movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger and... Carl Weathers give each other like the firmest kind of handshake or whatever that
is
has
this
ever
says
been.
They're getting free drinks at Burger King.
No. But okay, so they give each other a really manly high five, and it's like literally Earth start to shatter while this is happening. But I mean, I get like the whole let's play two manly characters against each other, but I think when you do that you have to really look out for like homosexual undertones.
Well, I think
this movie does not do a good job of it.
Like, he also does a great job of shooting down every flirty woman except for that doctor.
Right, exactly.
So it could have just been him being a closeted gay man, but then he sees he can pull it off with the doctor and, you know, rise to a new social status, even though he's going to hide the fact that he's gay.
I don't know. He seems like he's... I don't think this is a social status thing. Like, he's driving a, for that time, very popular... I mean, not popular, but very, very modern-looking Mercedes-Benz. Like, it doesn't... That car has not aged well, so it looks like an old car now. But, like, in the year that was made, that was probably, like, brand new.
Guys... I just want to let you know, I looked at on YouTube, and these are some things that we should probably either watch during our intermission or watch after the podcast, but there is a trailer for Roadhouse, recut, called Dalton the Dickhead, a new Roadhouse trailer where Patrick Swayze is a jerk who ruins everyone's good time.
That what do you mean recut trailer? That was this movie to begin with.
Oh, and there is a gay version that we should probably watch. The Brokeback Mountain edition.
What's the guy's name that runs town? It's like Ben Wallace or whatever the guy's name is.
The guy who runs the double... the guy who runs like the whole town.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I know which character you're talking about.
The part I thought was gay is he's like doing his Tai Chi on the side of that pond.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
guy just watches him for like 5 minutes from across the pond.
Which, I mean, you can see that as being gay from one perspective or from two. Like, I mean...
Or maybe the old guy's like, wow, that's gay.
Especially if it's a person I don't like who's admiring me watching me doing Tai Chi with my shirt off, like, across a river. I'm probably going to be like, I'm not going to give this man the satisfaction and walk away, right? But he doesn't. So, I mean, I don't know. That's not the only kind of evidence that I see. Something else that happens for sure. I don't know if anyone else notices the look that Dalton gives Jeff Healey when he walks into the bar.
And he says, I want you.
That might be the Riff Tracks version. I remember
directly. Owner of the bar said, I want you.
Oh, does he? What's yes. that dude's name? That's not Jeff Healey. I don't know what that guy's name is, but yeah, the guy who comes out of nowhere in the beginning of the movie and is like, I need you guys to clean up the double deuce. It's a movie where we sweep up eyeballs every night or whatever. So,
oh, wow. By the way, this Roadhouse trailer that's recut is phenomenal. This movie left itself wide open for this sort of thing.
Well, is it just literally Patrick Swayze not talking to any woman ever? Because that was the movie I already just watched.
Making eyes at men and...
Dude, that is the movie. That's why we're doing the podcast right now. Quit watching YouTube videos and discuss this with me.
Well, no, I get it now. Like, I was kind of on the fence.
But you kind of you do see it kind of
on the
though,
fence
right?
post. But now I agree with you.
Right. Yeah. So who does he call to get beer or whiskey driven into this place? It's
one buddy,
Garrett.
Garrett made a call, but then someone drove up, and then the bad guy started smashing his bottles.
It's the guy who gets killed, right? He has, like, a knife in his chest later, right?
Yeah, he got stabbed at the bar. Garrett. Wade Garrett.
No, it's not Garrett. It's
Wade Garrett doesn't bring it.
It's his other buddy that knew him from, like... The guy who comes up to him is like... He's like, what you been doing since Chesapeake Bay or whatever? Like, I don't know. Like, he did another job with him, but, like...
But he's just like a total extra or whatever.
Kinda like it's his friend from other jobs, but then he ends up having the knife in his chest, and then he uses that very knife to. I forget what he does.
What are the qualifications that can make you a cooler? Because based on what I've seen in the movie, I'm like I weigh less than that one dude who's a cooler, and like, some of what's underneath my layers and layers of fat is muscle, but like that dude is enormous. And he's like the most like the second most successful cooler in the movie, in my opinion.
What's the point of letting people commit assault crimes against you and then just throwing them out of the bar? Like, hey, no big deal. You stabbed me. You tried to kill me. It's all in a day's work.
Joel has a much better theory on why Patrick Swayze allows himself to be stabbed in every fight scene of this entire movie.
Tell me.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta make this a fair fight, so go ahead, stab me before I go ahead and fight you.
He handicaps
himself a little bit.
Right, yeah, he lets them stab him so then he can be like,
all right, go ahead, stab me.
The fight's on. You get a good stab on me first, then I know I'm gonna win this fight anyway.
Just make sure you watch out for my, you know, dozens of arteries, because you're a drunk person and your aim is good. Got it.
I mean, he can still be defensive while letting someone, you know, cut him. But
well, here's another one that when you watch this movie with fresh eyes, like 30 years later, you're like, wait, how does that work? At the very beginning of the movie, he gets a really deep gash in his arm, and he sews it up with like a needle and thread in the back room of the bar, right? And then he gets like an equally like or less deep cut in his rib cage in like this dirty city in Iowa, and he goes to the hospital for that one. So like in New York City or wherever he's at, there's state-of-the-art hospitals, wonderful medical care, stitches it up with a dirty piece of dental floss. He's in Iowa and he goes to the hospital.
But notice they didn't stitch him up. They stapled it. So maybe it was a certain type of wound.
Yeah. That's true. They do staple him. And actually, this provides some important things here, which is like our female protagonist and
one of the
possible
classic
love
lines.
Interest. But,
pain don't hurt or whatever he says.
Status interest.
That's the only place also that you get his name. The only reason I know his name is James Dalton is because it's written on the clipboard. But they just call him Dalton the entire time. You're not really supposed to know his name is James Dalton.
Or maybe it's Dalton James.
If last name means something different than what I think it means, it's possible. But, I mean, yes, his name could be Dalton James. Do you think he's related to Kevin James?
Not a similar physique.
I bet that other cooler is related to Kevin James. They do have a similar physique. That guy could have been Paul Blart. So there's another gay moment that happens that I alluded to earlier when you guys were still pretending like you could even get through 15 minutes of this podcast under the premise that you couldn't believe that I thought Patrick Swayze was gay in this movie. He walks into the Double Deuce for the first time, right? And this is something I love about this movie, too. There's a blind man playing guitar.
Jeff Healy.
What's the name? Yeah, what's the name of his band, though?
Is it the Jeff Healy Band.
The Jeff Healy Band? Okay, so there's a bunch of people throwing beer bottles relentlessly at the cage right next to the band, right? And the only person who's not, like, obscured by, like, the wire fence is the blind guitar player.
The one who can dodge the beer bottles the best, right?
How does no one throw a beer bottle at Jeff Healy
What is this chicken wire made out of, like... rock
That's almost like a movie trope that I've seen where, like, people throw beer bottles at a fence of some kind. Like,
try throwing a beer bottle against chicken wire. It's going to be really hard to make its beer bottle explode.
But that's how tough these people are. I think that's what they're trying to convince or trying to convey, so that when Dalton comes in to clean this place up, you understand how much of a badass he is.
First thing he needs is a broom and dustpan. that's for certain. Maybe a shop vac. One thing I noticed, and I don't mean to cut you off, but to further your point about him being kind of gay, you notice where he walks in that room where one of the bar employees is having sex with the pretty lady? He looks like he's revulsed. Repulsed, I mean. Revulsion.
Both. But are you talking about the blonde lady?
Yeah. Like, there's like a pretty explicit sex scene there.
Right. Is she tied to... Yeah, so who's her boyfriend? The other, like, really main tough guy?
The rich guy, I think.
The guy who gets ripped off the dirt bike and gets his throat ripped?
Yes, I think it's either him or his dad, the guy who owns the town. They don't really tell you, but she's dating one or both of them. She flirts with every other dude at the bar and apparently screws the bartender. Well, but, like, when Dalton walked in there, he's like, ewie.
Like, later on in the movie, she's, like, straight up putting her boobs on his face and stuff, and he's like, get these gross hams off of me. Like, he makes no... I don't think he ever talks to that lady, and, like, yeah, he actively avoids most of the women in this movie.
I'm going to say 9 out of 10 men are going to get at least a partial chub from that, but not Dalton. He's just strict business. 9 out of 10 straight men.
Is that what it is? It's his job, and, like, he takes it so seriously that he can't entertain the fact that he also is a man?
Maybe it's like someone that works at a strip club. Like, you see it every night, it's no big deal anymore. But, I don't know. It's just, he's got this tunnel vision that either he's the best cooler in the world, or he's just not into the ladies.
What is their limitations on what they can do? Because he fires the bartender the first night he's there, I think, right? The first night he's on duty,
I guess. It's like the owner's right-hand man, is my guess, who can also kick ass.
It's not a known term.
I think
it's
invented it for the movie. Term.
Yeah, no, I think so, too.
You only hear about bouncers now.
Right, yeah, so I don't know what that's about. But back to what I was saying, there's a moment in the movie, he walks into the Double Deuce for the first time, and Jeff Healey can smell Dalton from across the room, right?
I think that one of the band members, like, talks to him, but, like, that is one of the weirdest scenes in this movie, where Jeff Healey, like, stops the song and goes, his name's Dalton. Like, I don't understand at all.
And the look on Patrick Swayze's face when he looks at him, and, like, the smile that he gives, and, like, they hold on it for, like, 5 seconds or more. You don't see him give that to any woman in, like, the entirety of the movie. He doesn't even, like, have that expression. He doesn't give that to Doc. So, I don't know. Like, someone's sense of smell is very inherently tied to, like, how they feel about a person, and, like, it's very specific to people. So I get that he could smell Dalton, but, like, I don't know. The way they talk to each other just is kind of gay, too.
What does Sam Elliott's character call Dalton to? He calls him, like, Mijo or something, doesn't he?
Mijo. Which I don't remember what that means, but, I mean, I've got an internet right in front of me.
Mijo was one of the sword-wielding ladies in Sin City.
She was, but that's not what this means. It means my son. Okay, so that makes this even... more
So it's like a daddy
hold on,
sort of situation.
It's conjoined Spanish slang of affection, mijo, me and hijo, my son, can said to be any man or boy, usually an older person, can also mean my dear, sweetie, or hun.
Whoa. You are blowing the door right off of this.
So, I mean, that's different, at least, right? I mean... those are terms of endearment. Those are pet names. Like, that's something you reserve for your spouse.
Well, I guess we haven't ruled out that maybe they were sort of in a, not like a spousal situation, but they obviously had some sort of fondness for each other.
Have you ever seen anyone else ever make a ponytail look tough?
No. Well, actually, I can't say no. It's rare, though.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, okay, bikers have, like, the long ponytail or whatever, but Wade Garrett, like, before a fight in this movie, just so he can keep the hair out of his eyes, pulls it, his bangs back into, like, a small ponytail, yeah, man bun thing in the back of his head. Like, that does not make me intimidated. That makes me kind of getting ready to laugh at that person. Unless it's, like, a misdirect to, like, kind of... Yeah, if that's the whole purpose, is, like, I can't stop laughing at how ridiculous he looks. And that makes me like him harder to fight, I guess.
That's a bold strategy.
It takes away my intensity. I don't know, Miho. My son. I mean, that's kind of weird anyway. But is Dalton ever wearing... Okay, like, I want to go back and watch this movie again with the riff tracks. I think once I do, I'm going to keep an eye on, like, how many times Patrick Swayze is not wearing a shirt around a man versus how many times... Pretty yeah, versus how many times he's not wearing a shirt around a woman.
I'm pretty sure during the sex scene he's wearing a shirt.
He is. Except for the part where he's naked and, like, trying to live with his decisions he's made on the back patio of the porch or whatever. But that part aside, yeah, he's pretty much wearing a shirt or some kind of clothing around every woman in this entire movie, which is not true of those women. Like, reflexively, they're almost always trying to take, you know, their boobs out or whatever.
It's true.
Why has this movie been remade? Like, every other movie, there's talks of it being remade.
There's a sequel.
It was a straight-to-VHS kind of thing, though, right? I mean, it never really...
I think so, and it was about Dalton's son? That kind of throws a wrench in things in terms of him being gay. No, actually, no. No, that's not even right.
It's about his Miho?
No, it's not about his Miho. They allude to Dalton once, I think, in the movie. And it's about how he's dead. But it's about a new character.
Oh, that actually works out pretty well, then.
Yeah, let's see. Nate Tanner. I think that's like an undercover.
Will Patton. Okay.
Shane Tanner is like the new cooler, and he's investigating some crime against his uncle, Nate Tanner. This is all coming from IMDb, because I certainly have not watched this movie. Have you guys watched... we have a new folder in our Plex server, and for the time being, it's named Bad Movies, but I think it's just movies that people don't understand how amazing they are. And one of the movies in there... Oh, no, it's not. Can you see about moving the movie Bone Alone into the bad movies category? Well, I guess that's... Okay, that's not fair, maybe. Watch it first. Could. Watch it first. Make a determination, and then if you feel like it deserves to be...
Here's your challenge. Bone Alone. I was wondering if that was like they were trying to be a serious movie, or if it was a like total like recutting with like dog gifs from the internet of Home Alone. And go ahead and go on IMDb and type in Bone Alone. See what comes up for you. I'll tell you that the main actor in it is Ron Jeremy.
Actually, it's the only actor in it.
You, sir. Hence the title.
You think I'm kidding? You, sir, this have is, a challenge. You can't make this up.
Oh, wow. Hold on. No, there's... let me see the full cast. Angela Faith and Ron Jeremy. which explains some things. So, the movie itself... You know what? I wanted this to be a whole episode, and I don't know that you guys have watched it, have you?
I haven't.
John, you haven't watched Bone Alone yet, have you?
I have not.
But...
Oh, man.
I was... You know how your brain just doesn't... It goes faster than your, like, conscious mind can go sometimes? Like, I looked it up, and I was like, oh, I'm going to see if this was, like, an actual movie or if it was just, like, someone's internet, like, trope thing. And so I Google search it, and this movie comes up with Ron Jeremy as the main star. I'm like, why would Ron Jeremy be in a kid's movie with a dog trying to, like... And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, so let me provide some background for this anyway. So the movie that I'm alluding to is called Bone Alone, based on its like the artwork and the poster and some of the promotional materials, because it's supposed to be like Home Alone where they remade it with a dog. But the actual name... Okay, so the actual title, though, of this movie And this sounds maybe... Okay, let me... I'll take a poll between the two of you guys. And tell me which of these sounds like a more depressing movie. Bone Alone or Alone for Christmas? John?
Oh, gosh. I would say Alone for Christmas.
Okay, well, let me tell you something else, though. Look at Alone for Christmas and look at other titles for that movie. Like, that movie's called Bone Alone everywhere in the world except for the United States. And I'm pretty sure because Bone Alone came out in the United States and they couldn't have the same name.
Slightly different movie, too. Like,
wow, that's funny because it's probably true. And then I did look up Alone for Christmas, and there's a 2010 movie that's also an adult film starring John Holmes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and no one else.
Rule 34, so
I wonder,
man,
what that's about.
That's and no one else?
There's no Alone for Christmas adult film yet. I'm sure they'll have to name it something else.
There but is, man. Rule 34. But, I mean, whatever.
Okay, so, but if you're naming your movie Bone Alone, do you think any part of that... I mean, obviously they want to try and get those Home Alone fans to watch this movie, and that's a big pull for them. Do you think part of it, though, is, like, they might confuse a few people into thinking that Bone Alone is a Ron Jeremy, Angela Faith joint?
Be a lot of disappointed kids. Especially if they put it on HBO After Dark.
Or there'll be a lot of confused kids who are like, or a lot of confused parents who are like, hey, Kevin, can I call you in here just for a second? I see on your Christmas list you have a movie called Bone Alone.
I see on the cable pay-per-view statement you rented a movie called Bone Alone.
Well, I'm not even saying that. I'm like, so I went on the internet and typed in Bone Alone. Is this an American movie? And he's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's an American movie.
You're grounded.
Did this come out in 1993?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
What do I look like? A walking IMDb? Maybe.
Do you know some of the actors in the movie? I don't know.
I think there was one big name actor and some nobody.
It was only two people. And so, yeah, there's probably
and a
dog.
And a dog.
Oh, gosh. I hope there's not, there's not a dog in both of these movies.
Filmed in Mexico.
That'll make me really sad. I'm married now, so I mean, we all are. So I'll have to find someone else to watch the 1993 cut of Bone Alone. Why would you name a movie? Why would you name an adult movie that? And how can it possibly be Bone Alone if he's co-starring opposite Angela Faith? I put that to you, at least.
Her name's Angela Faith?
Yes.
And it's a Christmas movie. Like, for crying out loud, what is wrong with the world?
Is it actually a Christmas movie?
Home Alone is.
Right.
I mean, it's a holiday movie, at least.
Oh my gosh. I just went to Angela Faith's IMDb
Why?
Movie credits.
Why would you do that?
She has 93 credits. I was like, oh, she's a legitimate actress. And then I started reading some of the names.
And like,
some of these,
and
some
like,
of these
it's
could
93
be real
movies, and she was like in the movie industry for 4 months.
So let's see. Well, this isn't a fair game show game for us anymore because you know whose IMDb page I'm on. But let me read you some.
That's a good game. Children's movie or porn?
Yes. Bad to the bone.
Clearly, pornography.
LADP.
LADP? Lead.
Is that...
Oh no!
Oreos no. A go go.
Los Angeles double.
No. So what does this have to do with Dalton? All Dalton wants to do is clean the bar up.
I apologize. Yeah, we need to get back to Roadhouse, or at least Roadhouse 2. Yeah. So okay.
Is there a place where I can find out if there's a riff tracks for Roadhouse 2? Because that might be the only way I could get through it.
Yeah, there is, actually. I'll send you the link.
Well, when does Roadhouse 2 come out? Roadhouse 2. I think it comes out, seriously, 20 years after the original movie.
Just about. 2006, I believe.
2006. So, if Roadhouse, the original, came out in 1989, yeah, it was pretty close. Yeah, this movie came out in 1989. This movie came out 4 years after Top Gun. Or three.
It came out 2 years before Point Break.
Oh, that's surprising to me.
Yes, it is. Because I feel like they're from completely different generations.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, so, I mean, what about... I mean, Dalton has a serious aversion to talking to women. What is the point of that in the movie? Like, they never explain it, as best I'm aware. What do you think that is? Professionalism?
Yeah, I think the idea they're trying to portray... Like, if we can get serious for a minute, I think his deep contemplative scene he has is like the, oh, Dalton, you've done it. You've fallen in love with someone and care about someone. You promised yourself you'd never do that and get mixed up in your little community and whatever. And then, I think the other part is the idea they're trying to portray in this is like, hey, this guy has had, you know, so much, like so many women come onto him that he is just, he's not into what the typical man's going to think is a hot woman. He's got to have something different. He's got to be into a woman with a sharp mind or something that's hard to come by. You know, like a doctor, a lady doctor from Iowa, you know? I mean, that's my take.
Well, and he has like a... What kind of degree does he have? Because it comes up pretty quickly. And it's in that same... It's basically in that same scene at the hospital where we get everything we know about these two characters and pretty much any exposition to this entire movie. He has like a political science degree or something. And he used to be like a professor. Did anyone else catch that part?
I did not. How do you know this again?
It comes up in the scene where they're talking, it's in their little like dialogue between her and him where he's like, where she's like, oh, wow.
So to NYU, right?
Yeah. But he also like, he has a, some kind of degree that would make him
I think it was philosophy.
Was it?
Yeah.
So there's some great quotes in this movie, by the way. I mean, I don't want to get off on a tangent again, but. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. So is that what you, what's your guys' final verdict, I guess, on this whole subject anyway? Is Dalton gay or is he just like so manly that it really takes an impressive woman to impress him?
Maybe it's a bit like Top Gun, like where they're just so manly that to anyone who's not them, it just seems gay to the casual bystander.
I think what it is when you look at the 80s through the 2010s eyes, it the whole decade's gay. I mean, really. And yeah. Top Gun comes from that era, too. I mean, like, well, that was the whole era of, like, you know, Kenny Loggins singing in a falsetto, and you play volleyball without a shirt, and you do Tai Chi by a pond to show how tough you are.
Right. And it was a decade of kind of, yeah. Well, the whole thing, every movie coming out of the 80s that I remember, at least, was being funny enough or worth watching. There's another one that came to Netflix today. It's a Sylvester Stallone movie, Over the Top. Like, all these movies just look like they come straight out of Muscle Beach. So, like, I don't know. I mean, that's a thing for me, too. It's just, like, over-masculinity or whatever. Like, that's any Stallone movie, though. But... I mean, Over the Top is one where, again, like, it's nothing but, like, beefy, sweaty dudes wearing, like, nothing but wife beaters and backwards caps. So, like, I don't know. It's an era that's really tone-heavy on, like, the importance of masculinity. And looking back on it, you're like, yeah, those dudes are all gay.
I think this movie, I mean, when I think about Top Gun, I think of that as a great movie that I will watch. You know, like, I'll watch that once a month if I had to. But with Roadhouse, I mean, like, I'm done with it, probably. I won't watch it again. And what I'll take away from it and what I'll remember is rule number one is always be nice. And then he's, like, throwing people through plate glass windows, like, 2 minutes later. Like, I don't know. How does that make sense?
Yeah, it really doesn't. Like, he really is... He has such a white knight philosophy until, like, he's ripping someone's throat out. So, I don't know. I mean... But I guess that's the thing, too, is, like... He really does show a lot of restraint in this movie. One of the quotes here is like, I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice. And that's a Dalton quote. So it's also not a greatly written line, but whatever.
Yeah.
Most of the movie's not really well written. And his rules for running the bar are great rules for like getting stabbed as a bartender. Like, you should never tolerate this type of behavior in bars. That he's telling them to everyone to tolerate. And I know excessive force is not ideal, but they were taking a lot before they took action against some of these troublemakers.
Always take it outside, too. That's like the other one they say that I think is, you know.
So there's a part of this movie, this is one maybe that sticks with me. There's a part of this movie that kind of sticks with me. It was like this woman starts dancing on top of a table.
Yeah.
And like, it really becomes a problem that she needs to get down pretty quickly. And then Dalton points to one of the other guys and is like, take care of it. And then the guy goes over there and he's like, you know, she needs to get down. And I don't remember what the guy says, but he's like, whatever. And just turns around. And he's like, no, seriously. And then like, the dude gets punched in the face. And like, a fight breaks out around all this stuff. All the while, Patrick Swayze's not really doing anything. So.
And then he finally shows up and the guy like pulls a knife on him.
Right, and then he gets stabbed, like, immediately.
So. Wait, I thought, is that where you grabbed the pool cue? It started beating him up with the pool cue?
Maybe.
Oh, no, no, you're thinking of the very beginning, yeah when she grabs a knife.
Yeah, he gets tossed a knife, he's like, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of this now? And, like, thinks he's so tough, and, like, that's actually the one time when Patrick Swayze doesn't get stabbed, I think.
When there's a knife in the scene.
Yeah.
It's like the only time he doesn't get seen.
Right.
Oh, see, this is... I'm glad that I have IMDb to confirm things for me that I'm not sure. So, when Wade Garrett sees the double deuce for the first time, what does he say? Do you remember?
No idea.
He goes, the double douche! I was like, I think he said what I think he said, but I don't know for sure.
Mijo, double douche!
Double douche, mijo. So, yeah, I don't know. Here's one problem. You're talking about why don't they remake this movie? Here's something that's maybe a problem in the Tumblr generation. This is another Wade Garrett line. That gal's got entirely too many brains to have an ass like that.
You just can't get away with a line like that anymore.
Yeah, that becomes problematic in the 2015 era of, yeah, we're allowed to have both.
And the hero says that.
You're such a misogynist. Right, yeah, the good guy. That's one of the two good guys.
And that's like supposed to be like a good quote. Like, yeah, yeah, you're right. She really does have too many brains to have an ass like that. At least that's the mindset of the time.
He is wise.
Yeah, but Dalton's also pretty wise. Here's that exchange we were talking about earlier. Your file says you've got a degree from NYU. What in? Philosophy. Any particular discipline? No, not really. Man search for faith, that sort of shit. Come up with any answers? Not too many. How's a guy like you end up a bouncer? Just lucky, I guess. So there you go. That's like that entire thing. So that's why we know that he's supposed to be smarter than just being like, I don't know, Hill Jack, I guess.
Was this like this movie Patrick Swayze's first movie?
No.
No, I don't think.
Dirty Dancing?
Was that before this?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, for my entire life, I thought Patrick Swayze's last name was spelled with two E's. Nope.
It's actually Patrick Swayze.
It is Patrick Swayze. First movie for Patrick Swayze, Skate Town, USA. And man, you've got to get that.
Population one.
You have to get that to a place where I can see it, John. Oh my gosh. And if you look at the... Okay, so Skate Town. We're talking 1979. What kind of skates are we talking here? Skateboard?
Wow.
Maybe? Wait, 1989?
1979.
Okay, so he was active 10 years before the Roadhouse came out.
Yeah, and I forgot about Red Dawn. That was probably his first big movie.
Behind Skate Town. You guys,
Skate Town, one word or two words?
One word. And you guys need to look at this movie, and then we all need to watch this, because this is obviously going to become a future
episode.
Oh,
my word.
What?
It's Dirty
what?
Dancing on Skates.
Yeah, John, look at Skate Town USA. Look up the movie poster for it.
Is he like a main character in that movie?
I think so. Well, maybe not. No, Scott Baio is the main character, which is all the more reason to watch this.
Oh,
Hold on. Patrick Swayze plays a character named Ace Johnson in this movie.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, he's probably... That Ace Johnson sounds like the bad guy to me. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and take an early prediction on this movie, having never seen it. And say that Ace Johnson is the guy that Scott Baio, almost called him Scott Gayo, don't want to do that, Scott Baio has to overcome or, you know, has to face down. Oh, here's a plot synopsis for the movie Skate Town USA, which is going to be one of the very next episodes, I'm sure. At a roller disco competition, two rivals find themselves becoming good friends while competing for a prize of $1,000 in cash.
Ooh.
$1,000?
$1,000.
Oh my, this is on YouTube. The entire movie is on YouTube, and it looks very much 1979.
Is it, hold on, is it on YouTube in its original, like, sound pitch and at its regular frame rate, or is it, like, sped up, or is
it's not in very good quality. The encoding is not good, but I'm sure they didn't have anything good to work with.
Well, sometimes they'll, like, so you can watch the movie Lake Placid on YouTube right now, but it's sped up to, like, 1.05 times its original speed or something.
So that the automated,
whatever tracks it through Google doesn't pick up. Pirate. Like, oh, this is obviously...
Piracy detection.
Right, this obviously is the movie Lake Placid based on, like, different stills we know happen at this time frame and whatever. Like, however they do that thing, or, like, checking against voice pitches and stuff. So it just sounds slightly off, but it makes it so, like, weird. I don't know. At least to me.
I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to share just a quick clip of this video at a certain timestamp, and I need both of your reaction to it.
Sure. Let's take a look. Oh, sorry. Real quick, I need to watch an advertisement for some kind of vodka.
You should install uBlock.
No, you shouldn't. You should promote American capitalism in advertising.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of men skating in a line.
Kicking their legs.
So maybe there's less to be said about Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse and more to be said about Patrick Swayze, the actor, in his acting career.
Oh, my. There's a lot of wiggling man butt going on in this.
All right, okay, so we have our assignment.
Swayze crazy. Episode.
We're getting Swayze crazy on Let's Talk Movies, I guess.
Introducing Patrick Swayze.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is his breakout role. Or his debut.
Well, certainly. Okay, Let's Talk Movies, I guess, is getting Swayze crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Within the next few episodes, we're going to be talking Skate Town USA.
Because I'm watching Skate Town!
The music just doesn't stop.
All right, Dalton's gay. Sure. That's my opinion. Joel, what do you think?
Gary Mule Deer. This is one of the actors in this movie. That's what I think. Okay,
stop spoiling Skate Town for me.
here's what I want to say, and then I'm gonna literally like drop the mic and walk away. Patrick Swayze, I think actually was probably a pretty cool dude. I mean, like you think about him on Saturday Night Live and the like classic. It's kind of sad
Chippendales
because they're both dead.
With Chris Farley,
yeah.
And Patrick Swayze, yeah.
And then he had such a strangely shaped body too. Like he was like very like barrel chested, but had no pecs. I don't know. It's weird. But like I thought that when
no,
I
saw this isn't a question if you're gay or not. We're asking if you think that Patrick Swayze's character.
But
was.
The other thing that was kind of fun too, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Patrick Swayze, you know, got cancer and passed away, but. When they were making Zombieland, they asked him to be in it as a zombie, and he was way far into having cancer, and he was going to do it, but he got too ill to do it. But I thought it was kind of interesting. He was going to be a Patrick Swayze zombie, and what they were going to do is they were going to have like the main like female actress like go to a Potter's wheel, and like Patrick Swayze was gonna like come behind her and like sit at the Potter's wheel with her, and then like they were gonna like fight him, and he was gonna do like a bunch of dirty dancing sequences as a zombie, which I thought that would have been really funny. But he was too sick; he couldn't do it.
I think he probably was a pretty decent dude, and I like his reception of like having enough sense of humor to laugh at that and wanting to do that. He did die of
pancreatic cancer, I believe.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a taste for the alcohol, I think. In addition to smoking.
He smoked until the bitter end, too.
Well, okay, so your doctor comes in and tells you you have pancreatic cancer and you're going to die. Is that like the time you're going to be like, well, that's pretty stressful, but I think I'm going to hang up smoking, too.
Yeah, maybe just eat a bunch of vegetables.
You're telling me
chemo.
Maybe I can prolong my life by 30 days if I put away these cigarettes?
Okay.
Yeah, so I get that about Patrick Swayze. I don't smoke myself, but, like, I understand addiction and, like, or just, you know, habit even, you know? Like, food is my drug, so it'd be like, I'm not going to start a new diet if I have pancreatic cancer. Though maybe I should. And I should probably go to the doctor more often.
What if the doctor said, you have testicular cancer and the only way for you to be cured is for you to quit internet porn? What would you do? Like, I feel it's probably a similar situation.
I feel like I in that case, I go down with the ship watching Bone Alone, my favorite film from 1993.
In that case, Skate Town!
Which is kind of a porno in some ways. Like a softcore.
Dude, again, spoilers. I want to watch this movie without a filter on.
I will say that the clip you had us watch did have a conga line of men skating, and the guy in the front was a very slender African-American man in a pair of whitey tighties.
I was about to say, he was wearing nothing more than like a loincloth from like the clip that I saw, so I'm glad we're both seeing the same thing here. John, do you have any closing remarks before we all go watch Skate Town on YouTube and on a big Google chat?
I think that Dalton was probably like a 3 on the Kinsey scale. And I think that he was a product of an era where people either they were gay or they weren't. And he firmly believed he wasn't. But it was pretty obvious to everyone except for him.
I love that you brought the Kinsey scale into this. As like someone who works in a clinical like social work setting, I know what that is. And that's really funny of you.
So is that 3? The amount that you're gay or what?
Well, actually, no. I would say he's more like a 4.5. Yeah, it's like 1 to 10, with 10 being homosexual.
Richard Simmons. Being
completely straight. No.
Tom Cruise. Okay, got it.
Yes, okay.
bad example. Yeah. Okay, so
it's like the extremes of heterosexuality and homosexuality. Like most straight men would like be a 2 or a 3.
Okay.
Because gotcha. You could be like, oh, that guy, Patrick Swayze, he has chiseled abs. That is attractive if I were a woman.
Yeah, and you're willing to admit that, like, oh, that guy's put in a good amount of time at the gym, or he pays attention to what he looks like. So
I would probably rub some oil on his abs. Like, that's probably like a 3 on, or maybe a 4 on the Kinsey scale.
That might be closer to a 5 or 6 than you like to admit.
Yeah, I might follow him to the shower just to see, you know, the whole picture. Like, is his whole body ripped?
I might be his masseuse and tell him to undress to a level of my comfort.
That's probably a 6 or a 7 on the Kinsey scale. Yes. So you're getting it.
Okay, cool. And Joel, for your closing remarks, how gay for Swayze are you?
I have no comment. I am completely exasperated.
Wait, Swayze then or Swayze now?
I can't believe this episode even just happened. All right, look forward to Skate Town USA. Jay-Z or Swayze? I should introduce that. That might be an upcoming segment wherein we examine whether or not Patrick Swayze could perform a Jay-Z song as well as Jay-Z performed it, or if Jay-Z could perform a Patrick Swayze role as well as Patrick Swayze performs. I don't know that that's ever going to be an actual segment, but man, do I like the sounds of it.
And on that bombshell, thank you for checking out Let's Talk Movies, I guess. This has been one of our very first episodes.
Pure Skate Town gold.
Yeah, Skate Town. When are we going to do that episode, guys? Can we commit to it?
Yeah, well, that'll probably be within the first 10, I think.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to say that it's going
to
be the next one.
By the way, as a conservative Anabaptist who normally goes to bed by 9:30, it is now 1 o'clock, 1:11 in the morning. So that explains so much of this.
Yeah, any giddiness or lack of continuity or lack of train of thought. Man, I really am not great with words right now. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thanks for listening.
And make sure you listen to Serial Season 2 right after this to purify your brain ducts.
Your brain ducts?
Yes.
And
I think the word you were looking for was this episode has become fragmented.
All right, and check out our new podcast, The Kinsey Scale, where we talk about the attractiveness of other men and how gay we are for them. All right, thanks.